We're continuing our review of Ein Yaakov, and we're up to Daf Tetvav Amud Bet, or in the standard Ein Yaakov, that's page Mem Aleph. And Rav Chaim Rabbi Chanina taught us that if someone's careful with the letters of Shema, then they'll cool off perdition for him, and he brought a verse for that. Ah, this is where we ended. And Rav Chaim Rabbi Chanina taught that the reason that the word Ohalim is near the Nechalim is to teach us, in the words of Bilam, is to teach us just like the Nechalim, the streams, can raise a person from defilement to purity, so too the Torah raises a person from being found guilty, Mikaf Chova, to being found meritorious. Rav Ami and Rav Asi were preparing a wedding for Rabbi Elazar. They said, while we wait, let's go hear something in the academy. They went and they found Rabbi Yochanan that said, if a person erred in reading Shema and he's not sure where he erred, so if he's in the middle of the chapter, he goes back to the beginning of the chapter. If he's by Uchsaptam, he's not sure which one, he goes to the earlier one. He goes to wherever he can go, that he is certain that up to there he said. If he knows where he was up to, so he goes to the last place which he knows he said. That's how far back he goes. We then have a brisa that says that when servants pass away, even though technically an Eved Ivri has a bris milah and he goes to mikveh for the sake of being an Eved Ivri, we don't give them the regular eulogy, we don't give them the regular nichon avelim, because we don't want people to get confused and think that they have good lineage and then their children would be confused in the future as to what yichas they have. And the Gemara quotes a story that Rabbi Lezer's maid passed away. His students came in to comfort him, to give him Nichum Avelim. When he saw them, he went to the attic, they went after him. He went into the inner room, they went after him. He went into the inner room, they went after him. And by the time they got in, he said, you know, I thought you'd get the hint. If you don't get the hint with the tepid water, you won't even get it when you have boiling water. Didn't I teach you that you don't give a person Tanchumin over a servant that passed away? You say, just like anything else that's of value that passes away, may God replace your loss. But we don't treat them as his family members. They're not his family members, and we don't want people to confuse them with his family members. Yeah? Oh. So, this is the comfort we give, and we don't want people to confuse them with your family, to confuse the Yuchsin. Rav Yossi holds, if he was a righteous person, we say, whoa, what a good person, trustworthy person who had pleasure from his toil. And the rabbis told him, if that's what you say about a good slave, what do you leave for a good Jew? What better eulogy could he give a person? The Braisa tells us we only refer to three as Avos and four as Imahot. Avos is Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Imahot are Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah. The Gemara questions, why is that? Is it because we don't know what tribe we come from? We don't know if we're from Reuven or Shimon. So then we don't know which one of the matriarchs we're from either. We don't know if we're from Rachel or Leah. So the idea is that up until Yaakov, they have the importance, they have the stature that they deserve the title Avos. And beyond that, they don't deserve it. They're not on that level. And we mentioned that from this Gemara, we see that the Gemara holds that there are still Jews from the tribe of Reuven and the tribe of Shimon. Because the Gemara says, is the reason we don't call Reuven one of the Avos because we don't know if we are descendants from him? So the Gemara clearly knew that there are descendants of Reuven still around. That's an answer to the question that people often ask. Is everyone either a Kohen, a Levi, or from the tribe of Yehuda, Binyamin, and Shimon? Those are the southern tribes, and the answer is no. We see from this Gemara that there are still people walking around among us from all 12 tribes. Rabbi Elazar says, they're all Yisraelim. The question is, are all Yisraelim from Yehuda, Binyamin, and Shimon? And the answer is no. We have all 12 tribes among us. Rav taught, whoever greets his friend before prayer did something improper. It's as though he gave more importance to this person than his creator, Shmuel says. So the Gemara explains that the idea is, when you wake up in the morning, don't go to your friend's house to tell him Shalom Aleichem, good morning. A person's first stop should not be by someone else to tell him good morning. It should be in shul to greet his creator. But if you meet someone in the street and you tell him hello, that's okay. The custom is to say Tzafra Demari Tav. That's the morning of so-and-so should be good. which is basically good morning, and that's a way of remembering that we shouldn't be discussing other things. One opinion says it's only problematic if you bow when you say good morning. You're bowing to him before you greeted your creator. The basic idea is you don't show someone else honor before you pray. Rav Yitzchak Bar Ashiyan taught that if someone prays before he travels, then that's a segula that God will help him achieve what he wants. It's a good way to conduct oneself. Rabbi Yonah quotes in the name of Rabbi Zera, if someone sleeps 7 days without having any dream, that's called a bad person. The pasuk says, "V'saveh yalin bali paked ra," and we derive it as though it would say, "Sheva yalin bali paked." If he sleeps 7 days without being remembered from heaven, so to speak, they didn't bother giving him a dream, so obviously he's bad. Now the idea here is that he didn't have a dream, but most people have dreams and they forget them. That's a different story. That's what it would seem to say, yeah. I don't know. It's a good question. When we reach the 9th chapter, that's where the Talmud discusses all dreams. So wait till we get there. The Gemara tells us that if someone fills himself with words of Torah before he goes to sleep, he'll only get good news. And again, we derive it from that pasuk. V'saveh yalin. If he goes to sleep saveh, filled with Torah, then bali paket ra, he won't get bad news. So this is in general the way a person is supposed to conduct themselves. They're supposed to fill themselves with Torah before they go to sleep. And the first thing we do when we wake up, after we wash our hands, we say Berach Torah, we start learning Torah. The Gemara then records the different Amoraim's personal prayers. One Amora, when he finished praying, would say, God, may you place love, brotherliness, peace, friendliness in our homes, in our lot. And our portion should be filled with students, and ultimately things should be well and with hope, and our portion should be in Gan Eden, and let us acquire good friends and a Yetzer Tov. We should wake up and find ourselves in a state that we want to be God-fearing people, which was an interesting point. It seems that a person could wake up one morning and feel like not being a God-fearing person. They'd pray that when they wake up in the morning, they'd feel like being God-fearing. That was part of his prayer. What we desire should be good in your eyes. Rabbi Yochanan would conclude his prayer and say, God, may you peek at our shame and look at how bad we are, and as such you should be covered with mercy and cover up your anger. You should wrap yourself with your kindness, wrap yourself with your giving, and your good traits and your modesty should come before you. Rabbi Zera, when he'd end his prayer, he'd say, God, may it be your will that we don't sin, we shouldn't be embarrassed, and we shouldn't be embarrassed from our forefathers. Rabbi Chiya, when he'd end his prayer, he'd say, God, may it be your will that the Torah be our profession, and our hearts shouldn't cry, and our eyes shouldn't darken. Rav, when he ended his prayer, would say the prayer that we say on Rosh Chodesh, Yirotzo mefanecha shetiten lanu chayim aruchim, may it be your will that you give us a long life, life of peace, life of good, life of blessing, life of parnasa, life where we're swift to do things, a life that has a fear of sin, life with no external or internal shame, a life of wealth and honor, a life where we have the love of Torah and the fear of heaven, a life where you fulfill our desires for good. That's what we say, right? And we say Birchas HaChodesh. This was the prayer of Rav. He'd say it every day after Shmoneh Esrei. Then the Shmoneh Esrei, he'd say this Yei Ratzon.
Is there any
what? No, as far as I know, standard Siddurim don't print this. This prayer is printed on Shabbos. In the Birchas HaChodesh we say this. We say this the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh. Rebbe at the end of his prayer would say, Hashem, may you save us. And we say this every morning, Yirotzo mefanecha, Hashem lokeinu v'lokav seinu, shetatzileni me'azepanim u'mazutpanim me'adamra, u'mipegaram, mechaveram, yetzaram, shachen tov, right? Misatan mashchit, midin kasha, mipal din kasha, Hashem, save me from brazen people, save me from being brazen myself, from a bad person, from a bad encounter, from a bad friend, from a bad desire, from a bad neighbor, from the satan who wants to destroy, from a bad court case, from a bad opponent in a court case, be it a Jew or a non-Jew. And even though Rebbe had officers who were there to protect Rebbe, he'd pray every day, Hashem, save me from a bad court case. Save me from brazen people. Rav Safra, when he'd conclude his prayer, he'd say, Hashem, may you put peace in your heavenly court, And when you put peace down below between the students, be it those that deal in Torah for the sake of heaven and be it those that don't. And whoever doesn't do it for the sake of heaven, may it be the will before you that they should evolve to doing it for the sake of heaven. Rav Alexandri, at the end of his prayer, would say, Hashem, may it be your will that you put us in a corner of light, don't put us in a corner of darkness. Our hearts shouldn't tear, our eyes shouldn't darken. And some say that's Rav Amnuna's prayer. You want to ask something, Shmuel?
Yeah, Robert, I think I've heard this thing before. It's in the Amidah, right? Protect me from an evil tongue, an evil eye, an evil... It's in the Amidah prayer, in the last, just before the ending. Save me from the brazen man. Or is it from the Wadoi?
It's just in the morning, after Berchos HaShachar.
Oh.
At the end of Berchos HaShachar, we say that. Rebbe's prayer. Rebbe Alexander used to conclude his prayer with, Master of the world, you know that our desire is to do your will. And what detains us is the yeast and the dough. And the fact that the nations have overcome us. May it be your will that you'll make them subservient to us and will return to do your will with a complete heart. Margrave Ravuna would conclude his prayer with Elokaina Tzorla Shonim Meira, the way we conclude our prayer. God save my tongue from speaking bad, my lips from speaking deceit. Those who curse me, may my soul be silent before them, and may my soul be as dust before Ul. May my heart be open in your Torah, and my soul chase after your mitzvot. Save me from a bad encounterance, from the Yetzer Hara, from a bad woman, and from all bad things that are trying to come to the world. Whoever thinks to do bad to me, annul their thoughts, and don't let them ruin their plots. May the will of my mouth be found favor before you, and the thoughts of my heart also find favor before you. And this is how we conclude our Shmon Esrei. This is Mar Brei Ravuna's conclusion. Rava would conclude his prayer the way we conclude our Shmon Esrei prayer. Elokai ad shelo notzalti ani kedai. My God, before I was created, I wasn't worth creating. And now that I've been created, it's as though I was never created. I'm dirt in my life, how much more so in my death?
Is the best prayer?
Again? Yeah. That paragraph is what we spoke about a minute ago. That's what we conclude our Shmon Esrei with. This one is Achelo Notzalti Ani Kedai. Before I was created, I wasn't worth creating. Ma'ashav Shenotzalti Kilu Lo Notzalti. This is the way we conclude Shmon Esrei on Yom Kippur. Before I was created, I wasn't worth creating, and now that I was created, it's as though I wasn't created. I'm dust in my life, how much more so in my death? I'm like a vessel filled with shame before you. May it be your will that I don't sin anymore, and what I've sinned in the past, you should cleanse with your great mercy, and not through afflictions or horrible illnesses. And that's the vidui of Rav Amnuna that we say on Yom Kippur. Rav Sheshis, when he'd sit in fasting, at the end of his fast, he'd say, Ribon Olamim, and this is printed in many Sidurim. The Shulchan Aruch says we should say this at the end of the fast day, at the end of Tisha B'Av, remember to say this. Master of the world, it's revealed before you at the time that the temple was erect, a man would sin and he'd bring a sacrifice, and all they'd bring before you were the fats and the blood, and you'd forgive him. You'd cleanse his sin. And now I've sat in fasting, and my own fats and blood have been diminished. May it be the will before you that the fats and blood that have been diminished within me will be considered as though I brought them before you on the altar, and therefore I should find favor before you. So this statement, this paragraph that Rav Sheshis used to say at the end of his fasts, it's brought in halacha that every person should say at the end of the fast day. So we should all remember to say that. It's printed in many Sidurim at the end of Elokai Netzor Shonim Ra, at the end of the Shmon Esrei. We're supposed to remember to add it, and mincha of the fasting at the end of Shmon Esrei.